The Gospel of John really stands apart from the other Gospels. The Gospel of John is different from the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke present a common perspective, a common view of the life of Christ. They, in the main, generally focus upon the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, His earthly ministry and His earthly service. Although His deity is manifest in places, in the main they focus upon the humanity of Christ. And synoptic simply means with the same eyes or with the same vision, a common perspective of the life of Christ. But as we come to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John focuses on the true deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the eternal Word, the Logos, the Word of God made flesh, who tabernacled among men. He is the Son of God, a distinct divine person who is uncreated, who is underived, the Word of God who was made flesh and tabernacled among men. John the Apostle presents Jesus as the eternal Son of God. As we've been reading here in John chapter 8, it is clear that the Jews understood Christ's claims. They knew what Christ was saying when He was claiming to be the Son of God. He said God was His Father. He was equal with God. He was the Son of God. And it is clear that the Jews understood the meaning of Christ's words because they reacted against Him. They took up stones, accusing Him of blasphemy, of making Himself equal with God. And of course, that was the purpose of Christ, to show His absolute power and deity, that He was God. And so they understood His claim. It was a claim significant of equality with God the Father. Christ calling Himself the Son of God, making Himself one with the Father, He was saying that He was of the same divine essence, the same divine nature as God the Father. He was God, co-equal, equal with God the Father, co-eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, just like God the Father. And therefore it says in chapter 5 and the verse 18, it says, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. And again in chapter 8 and the verse 59, it's obvious they understood His claim. They took up stones to stone Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. And again in chapter 10 and the verse 31, when Christ made that wonderful claim, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. According to the Levitical law, this was the way to deal with those who were blaspheming. And so they understood His claim. Christ, calling Himself the Son of God, was saying that He was one with the Father, co-eternal, co-equal with God. In chapter 5 and the verse 23, Christ said He was to be honored just as men honor God the Father. Worship, that worship that is due to God alone, was to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to be honored as God. That worship that was due to the Father was to be given to Christ. A clear, plain statement with regard to His deity. Christ was saying plainly to them, I am. I am God. I am Jehovah. The eternal Word, the eternal Son of God. Oh, they said in chapter 10 that they wanted to know Tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered in verse 25 of chapter 10, I told you, and you believe not. Before Abraham was, I am. I am God, the eternal Son. I am one with the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, you have those wonderful words, familiar words of Christ with regard to Him being the shepherd of His sheep. His sheep hear His voice, they follow Him. But He says in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. This is Christ speaking, remember. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But then He goes on to say, my Father which give them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My hand? My Father's hand? I and my Father are one. And what is Christ doing here? He's showing His co-equality with God the Father. He's saying, I possess that same power, that same ability, that same authority that God the Father has. Just as God has infinite power to hold His people, His sheep in His hand, that none can pluck them out of His hand, so, Christ says, I have that same power. It's infinite power. I and my Father are one. There was that coordination in our work there. There was that oneness in essence. That equality of nature. Equality of essence and equality of power. I and my Father are one. And the Father's hand there in John chapter 10 is symbolic then of that infinite power of God. The Father has infinite power to uphold and to keep and to support and sustain His people. As I have, Christ says. I have equal power. He is equal in power and glory. And throughout the Gospel of John then, John goes about to establish the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. You notice there what he has to say. Three amazing facts. One concerning the eternity of Christ. He was in the beginning. Even before the worlds were created, Christ was there. He had a hand in creation. He is the Word who said, let there be light, and there was light. John in John 1:1 sets before us the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with God. He is a distinct person from the Father. Two persons, one God. He was face to face with God, if you like, in communion with God. He was with God. A distinct divine person. And then He was God. Truly and essentially God. Uncreated. Underived. He's not a created being. He is the everlasting God. And all things were made by Him. And so John goes about to establish the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all life. He is the self-existent one. In Him was life. That is a revelation of God as the self-existent one. All life came from Him. He made all things. He has life in Himself, if you like. And that is true of none but God. Only God can say that. In Him is life. And so when you think about the glorious attributes of God, those things that John ascribes to the Lord Jesus Christ, those attributes, that are characteristic of God, His omniscience, that God knows all things, His omnipotence, that God has all power, His eternity, that God is from everlasting to everlasting without beginning or without end. John applies all these things to the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that He is truly God. He knows all things. Remember the case of Nathanael in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, where the Lord demonstrated to Nathanael that He knew all things. He saw him and He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." How did Christ know what was in Nathanael? How did He know the character of the man? He'd never met him. And yet, as God, He knew exactly the man. To the woman at the well in chapter 4, as Christ revealed Himself as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one men were looking for, the one predicted in Scripture. What did she say? She went away, she believed on Christ, and she invited others to come and see a man which told me all things, whichever I did. Christ knew what was in her heart. Remember the words of Peter, those famous words of Peter in chapter 21, as the Lord comes to graciously restore Peter after he had fallen and denied the Lord. The Lord questioned him, "Lovest thou me, Peter?" What did Peter say? "Lord, thou knowest all things." All things. He's omniscient. And who is omniscient but God alone? Jesus Christ is God. He's omnipotent. All power belongs to Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, you have 8 miracles recorded. They're referred to as sign miracles. Miracles or signs. They point to something. They demonstrate something. And the 8 sign miracles in the Gospel of John demonstrate the absolute power and the deity of Christ. John recording these miracles is saying only God could do these things. No one else could do such things. Who else can turn water into wine? Chapter 2, the beginning of miracles. A revelation of His divine power as He creates wine out of water. It's a direct act of creation. Only God can create. The healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. The healing of the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda. The feeding of the 5,000. Again, a direct act of creation. Taking those few loaves, breaking them, and creating on the spot bread to feed the multitudes. 5,000. That is men. And then beside that, the women and the children. Giving sight to the man who was born blind. Giving sight and light to his eyes in chapter 9. Walking on the sea in chapter 6. Raising Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. Directing the disciples to the great draught of fishes in chapter 21. These were sign miracles. Particularly set down by John. They're the only miracles he records. To show and give evidence to the fact that Jesus Christ is God as proof of His divinity. And as we said, in many cases, they reveal God's creative power. His omnipotence proves that He is God. But then there is the fact that He is eternal. The eternality of Christ. Christ in John 1:1. Demonstrates that His pre-existence, and even before creation, John 1:1 takes us way, way back, even before creation. It takes us back beyond Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. And before that, Christ was with God, and He was God, even before the creation. And so John 1:1 antedates Genesis 1:1. Before anything was made that was made, Christ was there. Christ was with God before the earth was formed. Christ was with God. He is eternal. He was by the side of God. You look at John chapter 6 in the verse 46. John 6 verse 46 reads, Christ says, "Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." No man has seen God at any time. God was manifest in the flesh. Christ came to reveal God to men. How else could we know God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no knowing God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals God, who is God and man, who was with God, save he which is of God. Very literally, he which is from the side of God. He was there in communion with God the Father even before the world was created. He is from the side of God. And in that there is an identification, identifying himself as Jehovah, as God. And this is something you see in the great I Am statements in the Gospel of John. John said, Christ said there in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was pointing to his eternal existence, his pre-existence. Before the world was created, he says, "Before even Abraham was, I am." Speaking of his eternal being. And there was then that identification with Jehovah. Because right there, the Lord is employing a title, an Old Testament title. We were reading in Exodus chapter 3. When God commissioned Moses, he called him. He said, "I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to lead my people from bondage. You will be the deliverer. I have sent you. Now go." But Moses said, "Well, if I go, they're not going to believe me. I have no power. I have no authority. Who will I say sent me?" "Say, I am that I am sent me." A title of Jehovah. It was a reference. It comes from the same root word that points to Jehovah. I am that I am. So there was this identification with Jehovah. And so what is Christ doing when he takes up that title in the Gospel of John? When he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." When they came looking for him in John chapter 18 to take him and to crucify him, he said, "Whom seek ye?" "Jesus of Nazareth." And what did he say? "I am he." You'll notice the "he" there is in italics in our authorized version. I am he. Literally, I am. He's taking and he's using the title of Jehovah there. I am. And what happened? They had a glimpse into the divine glory of Christ, that he was God. They fell backwards at his feet. I am. And so Christ here employs this Old Testament title for Jehovah. It comes from the same root word as Jehovah comes from, the Hebrew verb to be. Very literally, it could be translated, when God said to Moses, "I am that I am." Literally, we could translate it, "I was, I am, and I shall always be." Speaking of his eternality, his continuous person. He is God, immutable, sovereign, eternal. And as in John 8:58, where the Lord said there, "Before Abraham was, I am," he declares that truth time and time again throughout the Gospel of John. He refers to himself as the I am, joining to it a metaphor that expresses something more of his person and of his work to men. And there are seven principal I am statements in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." "I am the light of the world" in chapter 8. "I am the door" chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, chapter 14. I am the true vine, chapter 15. Those are the seven principal I am statements in the Gospel of John. But that title appears some 23 times in the Gospel. Again and again, the Lord refers to Himself as the I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews said to Him, well, listen, you're not yet 50 years of age. And how could it be that you have seen Abraham? Jesus said, before Abraham was, before Abraham lived, before Abraham existed, I lived. Before Abraham was, I am. I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the eternal God, which is, which was, and which is to come. A present, continuous being. As a man in his humanity, Christ could not have seen Abraham. He must then be referring to another nature with which He was endowed. His divine nature. He was man, but He was also God. As a man, He could not have seen Abraham, but as God, eternal God, He had seen Abraham. He had existed before Abraham was. I am. And so the great I am statements of the Gospel of John show this truth, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God with power and with authority, who is sovereign over all. I am. It is a title that appears throughout the Gospel. Ego am I. I am. As we said, it's that reference to the Old Testament and to the book of Exodus where the Lord called Moses. The first reference to that title, pointing to Jehovah. Christ was saying, I am Jehovah. I am God. I reveal the fullness and the glory of God. That glory that He revealed there in chapter 18 to those who came to take Him when they fell backwards. He had revealed to them something of His divine glory, His fullness, and His power. I am. And those seven wonderful statements in the Gospel of John reveal to us some aspect of Christ's person and work. They give us a perspective on who He is. And it's an important title for us to consider. It is a title used in Scripture only of God Himself. And that is significant. For Christ to use it then, He is claiming to be equal with God. He is God. I am. And as I said, the title first appears in Exodus chapter 3. We read that chapter together this morning. And what is God doing there in Exodus chapter 3? He's revealing Himself to Moses. If you turn back to that chapter, you will see that it was the Lord God. Here you have a Christophany. The Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, verse 2, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Here is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord appearing to Moses, who is God. Moses recognized Him as God. He turned aside to see this bush that was burning but was not consumed. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, verse 4, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then what does the Lord demand and require of Moses? Take the shoes off your feet, Moses. The place you stand on is holy ground. Bow down and worship me. Who is to be worshipped but God alone? Jesus Christ is God. Here is a Christophany, Christ appearing out of the midst of the bush to Moses, demanding worship.
And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid. Why? He's afraid to look upon God. There was that fear and that holy awe and reverence of God. And what was the Lord doing there? He was revealing Himself to Moses. The Lord Himself, verse 2, appeared. God appeared. Moses hid his face. He's afraid to look upon God. It was God that appeared. Jesus Christ then, when He refers to Himself as the I Am, He's saying, here before you is a revelation of God to men. He is saying, I am the full and the final revelation of God. You want to know God? You will not know God apart from Me. All that God has to say is in and through Me, the Logos, the Word, eternal. I am the Word of God. I am the way. I am the truth. Truth absolute. And doesn't Hebrews chapter 1 confirm that? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, the Word, Jesus Christ. The revelation is complete. Christ reveals God and God's plan of salvation for men to men. All that God has to say to us, He says, in Christ. But it is also there a revelation of the power and the authority of God. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses takes off his shoes from his feet, for he is standing on holy ground, standing before God, in the presence of God. And he was afraid. God manifests to him His power and His authority. And for Christ to say, I am, He was saying, I am the God of power and of authority. I have all power given unto Me. I am God, and as such I have been vested with sovereign power. And there is Moses in the backside of the desert. He's called to be a leader of God's people, to be the deliverer of Israel, to take them out of the bondage of Egypt. He was to go down and to speak to Pharaoh. He's to speak to the elders and say to the elders that God has sent me to be the deliverer, to bring you out of bondage. And Moses was full of fear. He was reluctant. He needed to be reassured. Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Sovereign God of power has sent me. I will be with you, Moses. And here is Moses. When God inquired of Moses and commissioned Moses, Moses returned with a barrage of questions and a barrage of objections. Who am I? I'm not worthy. I'm inadequate. I can't do this. What authority do I have? They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to hear my words, he says in chapter 4, verse 1. They will not hearken unto my voice. In verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And then in the end, he just said, Lord, just send somebody else. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray Thee, by the hand of Him whom Thou wilt send. In other words, don't send me, send somebody else. I'm not worthy, I have no power, they won't listen to me, I'm not eloquent. What can I do? And the Lord said, certainly I will be with thee. I will be your strength. I will be your help. I will be your power. I will be the deliverer. I am that I am. Say, I am that I am hath sent you. Title of power that refers to the eternal, the immutable, sovereign God. The self-existent one. And therefore the Lord is saying to Moses, I am. I am able to sufficiently and abundantly meet your every need. I am the same God to you, to the generations to come, as a memorial to you and to all the generations. I am. And what did Moses receive then? He received that promise of God's help. The promise of God's help. The power of God to effectively witness. God gave him certain signs, certain tokens. Well, I will be with you. And if they do not hearken unto you, well, cast your rod down. It'll turn as a serpent. Take it up again. Put your hand in your bosom. Turn leprous. Take it out again. It was clean. Take up water from the river. It will turn to blood. Sign miracles demonstrating the power of God. Just like the sign miracles in the Gospel of John, proving the deity, the absolute power of Christ. It was the promise of God's help, the power of God to effectively witness to the elders and before Pharaoh. There was a promise of God's presence. Certainly I will be with thee. And so in Exodus 3, when God called Moses to lead his people out, God answered all his objections. God answered all his questions. He had an answer for all his fears, his inadequacy, his inability, his lack of authority, his lack of power. God said, I am. I will supply your every need. Certainly, I will be with thee. The one which is, which was, and which is to come. And this God is our God. This is the promise of God for us today. There's that comfort in trial and affliction. The Lord looked upon Israel. He said, I know their sorrows. I've heard their cry. I'm sending you, Moses, to be their deliverer. I am, hath sent you. There's the promise of His power, the promise of His presence in trial and affliction. There's that all-sufficient grace and help given to God's people. Jesus Christ is the great I am. I am omniscient, omnipotent, eternal, immutable, Creator, Lord, and Savior. The great I am, who redeems our lives from the corruption of sin, the bondage of sin, leads us on with Himself, takes us in, and makes us to know more and more of His fullness, His grace, and His truth. This J.C. Ryle said, Christ applies to Himself the very name by which God made Himself known when He undertook to redeem Israel. It was I Am who brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was I Am who died for us upon the cross. The amazing strength of the foundation of a sinner's hope appears here. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're resting on divinity. We're resting on God, one who is God as well as man. One in whom there is full salvation and deliverance. Christ is all and in all. He's all and in all to the Christian. And that's what the Lord is saying there when He makes those claims in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. What He's saying? He's saying, I am able to abundantly and sufficiently meet all your needs. He's the bread of life, the source and the sustenance of our spiritual life. He's the light of the world. In this world of darkness, we can know His light. He's the quickener of our souls. He is my comfort in times of sorrow. He is my resurrection and my life in times of death and in times of mourning and bereavement. He directs me according to His word of truth, the way, the truth, and the life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and He opens up the way to glory for me. He is all and in all to me. All that I need is found in Christ, the great I am. Salvation, redemption, power to live, power to serve, help in trials, Christ says, I am. He's all that we need, and we rest in Him today. Resting in Christ, we're resting in divinity. The mediator, the only mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus.